You know, colleagues, why we're gathered together at the end of a very busy year. We stop the roar of the traffic, as they used to say, in town tonight. And we stop for reflection. And this is tinged, as it always is at these times, with sadness. Because professionally, we're saying goodbye to someone we've known for a very long time. In fact, Miss Brooks is the longest serving member of the staff of our upper school. And in terms of time spent, I think this is important in itself. I've just put down a copy of Education, where I learned that one London school had 100% turnover, and then it was closed. But many others are coping with 60 and 70% turnover. I think this is one of our current problems, but we can't blame Miss Brooks for that. She's gone on her devoted way around these buildings for some 29 years. And it is when we think of what she has done, the number of pupils who have found inspiration and love in a very important area of the school curriculum, we are no longer sad, but very grateful for colleagues like Miss Brooks. And it's no cliche to say she'll be sadly missed. I mention the love of history. She's engendered this in the minds of many hundreds of pupils in this very building. I did a little sum, and I think approximately she's probably had about 2,000 students through the various classes. My sums may be wrong, and it may not be modern maths, but it's something of that order. So I say good many hundreds. They've been given a full understanding, in my view, of the changing face of 19th century Europe and of Britain, again in the medieval times and in the 20th and 19th centuries. I'm sure they understand the meaning of franchise, because whenever I used to go into her lessons, she was dealing with one of the reform bills or a full understanding of franchise, among many other things. And then we come to her love of her house, the enthusiasm she engendered again on sports day, the athletics, the hockey, and the tennis matches. And I now come to this occasion on a personal level. I shall miss Miss Brooks's cheerfulness, her willingness, her irrepressible optimism, her perpetual smile, and ever a happy remark. I've yet to hear her say anything derogatory or unkind about anybody, and that's high praise for certain. I mention the personal side because I've known Miss Brooks longer than anybody else in this room. You can imagine my surprise when I'd just been appointed in February 1957 to be told that there was a historian on the staff called Evelyn Brooks. I happened to say not from Mexborough, and the remark was yes. There was a long pause, which was really 25 years. As a geographer turned head, I couldn't think of anybody better to have as head of history, and I knew all would be well. And finally, nothing gives me greater pleasure than to see Miss Brooks this afternoon looking so well again, doing this, lifting that. I had all on to stop her taking the model out of the first-year parents' evening room and they're carrying it across to the admin block on her own. She's completely incorrigible. She's already making plans for what she'll be doing in school next term. Such is the measure of her optimism. I, on all our behalfs, wish her long and happy retirement. And like Mrs. Wesson, and it's not long since we were doing the same for Mrs. Wesson, she's making plans for Scotland, Kenya, Greece, Austria, and I'm sure all places to Peru or Mexico. So we wish you, Miss Brooks, every happiness. And I'm sure a number of colleagues would like to say a little about the memorable incidents that happened between 1945 and 1957 when I take up the story. Those things that heads only hear about on that very restricted grapevine. Take this, Miss Brooks, in affectionate memory of all that we've done together here. And I hope when you take your creed and so on, you'll think about us. from time to time. Thank you very much indeed.